You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time for It's Casual with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
I love it. Visually, I love it. I love how the shows have the different cultures and the different groups, support groups. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, everybody, this is your boy Case, a.k.a. FaZe. We're doing Those Casual Reds. Big week. Go ahead. You can bring him in. Bring everybody in. A lot to talk about. You know, what happened? The latest news. Murtaugh's out the door. We can talk about the Chelsea Liverpool situation. Dominating the Scousers this week. Manchester United has dominated the Scousers. That's my pettiness that I'm going to roll with for the rest of the year. I'm holding on to it. I love it. We could talk about, I don't know. What else am I missing? See, my brain went dead. I had all this stuff going on. The youth movement, that's another thing we're going to hit on. The youth movement.
Culture.
Different culture. But first of all, let's introduce everybody, see how everybody's doing. Oh, first of all, we're brought to you by Boring Malukin LLP, one of the finest law firms in the state of California with a 98% success rate, personal injury, wrongful death, slip and slide, if you slip and or something I'm talking about. If you go on their websites, go on their Instagram, go on Yelp, you can see their reviews. They all get 5-star reviews. You can see all the cases they've won and the payouts they get. It's beautiful things. They got someone like $400,000 for getting fired. How do you do that?
I don't know, man. Wrongful fired?
Wrongful fired. How do you get fired? Wrongful fired and you get paid. But anyway, let's talk to everybody. First of all, Cheese, how you doing? The man, Cheese in the studio with me.
Listen. Woosa, good mood, positive vibes, keeping everything on the up and up. To your point, we dominated the Scousers this week. I'm running with that. I'm taking that momentum.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing when we can say things like that, petty things like that.
It's a 10-hog job saver.
is it a 10-hog job saver? Let me get everybody else going. Mike Bandito, my man, how you doing, my brother?
All right, I like the new intro, man. That's a
fire. Shout out to Mikey.
Shout out to Mikey. Salute Mikey.
And you know who needs our sponsor is Klopp, because he let it slip, bro. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a referral.
Slip
right
and
there.
Slide.
Klopp is cracking up.
Klopp let it slip and slide.
Yeah, it was good seeing him lose his shit, right, when Kobe scored. But we're going to touch on that. My brother, those Atlanta Reds, repping those Atlanta Reds, Mikey, Big Mikey, pause.
Ain't no pause on that.
I was waiting for him.
What's going on, y'all? Yeah, man, still going strong with the petition, man. I got 1,000 signatures, and I need 1,000 more before week's end. We are getting Roy Keane off TV.
Wow.
And Joey Barton.
Yeah.
Joey Barton first.
One. I'll sign that one.
Wow, that's a deep one. I think Roy Keane had some stuff to say recently again.
When doesn't he?
Did he double down?
He was just, I think he was critiquing Kobe, but, you know, he's pretty much just, no, that wasn't Roy this time. I think Gary Neville came out and spoke against Terry Ten Hag, but we'll talk about that too, There's like a movement with old Reds or Ollie's friends to get, I don't know, people are doing this conspiracy thing. There's some old guys who don't like Aaron Ten Hag who play for the club, and then it seems like there's a nice movement. Oh, okay. My guy, Germ. What are you doing? What's going on? How you feeling? Everything's love.
Feeling good.
Yeah, feeling positive.
I want to give a big shout out to Mikey for that intro once again.
Yeah,
doing it out there for us. Salute to him. You know, let's keep it rolling. Let's just have this grow.
All right, let's just jump right into it. Let's get game reactions. Touch on Chelsea. I'm just going to start and then go into Liverpool. I'm just going to say this, me personally. going to the Liverpool match after the Chelsea match, I didn't have much confidence. I'm not going to keep it 100. I was very hurt after the Chelsea match. I don't want to get into it too much. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of mental breakdowns that hurt us. And I, you know, it's hard to draw confidence from that. But we played well. Would you say we played well, Bandito? Or do you say we took advantage of
Which game?
Chelsea.
Well, I don't want to go into Chelsea. I'm just going to tell you, going to Liverpool, Chelsea was a disaster. Chelsea had me down. It was Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. No, we didn't play well. We played chaos football. I think maybe about the first 10 minutes it looked like we were up for it. We were attacking them. We Garnacho had that breakaway where he was offsides. Bruno took kind of a bad touch, and instead of getting it right off of his feet, he had to run onto it to pass it, so the timing was off. After that, it was target practice for Liverpool. I mean, they were really toying with us, and bad on them because it should have been 3-0, done and dusted at half. I will say second half, chaos football kind of took over, and we looked pretty good in spells. United's a weird team, man. We get a funky goal with Bruno. Hits it with great technique. Good on him for, you know, pressing high and kind of anticipating.
I thought he was insane when it was happening live.
Yeah, I was actually indisposed, and I come out of the bathroom and I'm like, oh, we just scored. Like, go back in. So United, like I said, once that happened, they get their tails up, and they grow into the game. They got some confidence, and you could say it was kind of against the run of play. But, yeah, Maino's goal was fantastic. Fantastic goal. He picked up the ball in midfield. Plays it out to the left, and he continues just to drift out there into the half space. He's got his back to the goal. He's calling for the ball. And then Aaron Wan-Bissaka, it was a good pass because he's put it a good weight, and he's put it to the correct foot that Maino wants to, you know, let it run across his body, touch it with the inside of his boot, and then have it be, you know, 90 degrees of you. And then he doesn't try to kill the ball. He just hits it with good technique and places it. Just kind of like his Wolves goal. He doesn't have to, you know, put his boot through it and laces through it. He just hits it with really nice technique.
And, you know, it's when you see Maino do things like that, you see just how controlled in a moment in the game is, because and we, you know, you see guys getting a shot, that opportunity, and they kick it too hard, and you hear fans second guess him. Oh man, he just needed to touch it, get a little curl on it. He does these things, so it's like every time someone questions something about Kobe, he always answers the question for it. Some people say, "Oh, he's good with the ball's feet. Can he play up high? Can he be more advanced?" Bam, he does it, and he just proves that who he is. He's just a generational talent. I'm just going to go ahead and say that, Mikey. Though going to this Liverpool game, seeing how we performed from Chelsea to Liverpool, did you see any improvement, or did you see a lot of what we are when you see Chelsea and the Liverpool game?
Okay, so it's the same team. These guys aren't good enough. I didn't see much improvement. I also saw something that a growing team of which Ten Hag is scaring me with, although he doesn't know how to go and kill a game off. I don't feel like he's instructing those guys to go and get the next goal. He's setting up, getting defensive, putting a defensive player on. To put Amrabat on at that time was just weird. Shouts to Bruno for that goal, because it took him hustling to go get that, and we often don't give him his flowers for just being a hustler. Like, he might not be the best midfielder, but he puts in a shift, and that was a shift goal right there. And to have the unmitigated gall to take a look up, see this keeper is off his line, and lace it and hit it, and it goes in low, that was perfect. Got a big up Bruno for that. Main News Goal loved it. It was great. The setup was great. He runs far wide to pass the ball first and then comes in centrally to get the ball. So I thought that was great, how he hits it and all that. But I don't think he had like a – between Chelsea and now, I don't feel like he had like a great game outside of that goal. He gave the ball away a few times. But I think that's just a symptom of that midfield as more than him, you know. But that's the thing. We have this problem late in games with just keeping the ball. Keep the ball, man. And I don't think, on top of Ten Hag not instructing them to go be killers.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's the second time you've disrespected Erik Ten Hag. And I'm just shocked.
I'm not disrespecting, but you actually gave him blame. Every time we've given up the game, we haven't gone to get the – we're corner flag United. Run to the corner flag. The throw-in from Dalot goes way to a man at the Chelsea game. Like, go get the ball. Keep the ball. At least playing the attack in third, so at least you get corners. At least you get throw-ins down at that side of the pitch.
But these are professionals. Are you saying Erik ten Hag's not telling them? And are these professionals?
Can I finish your thought? And then you'll know what I'm saying. Okay. I feel like he's not instructing them to do that. And then he's coming on and bringing guys on defensively late on in games. We're taking off a winger, bringing on a CDM. What are we doing that for? Why is Emma not getting his play time? Why is he not coming on like, yo, go get that third goal, guys. Go and go get that third goal. Go get that fourth goal to kill off this game. Every team that's at the top is doing that. Pep is not telling those guys, all right, sit back. Arteta's not telling them to sit back. Klopp's not telling them that. Pep's not telling them that. Arteta's not. And guess what? They're the three best teams in England right now for a reason. I have concerns with that. Now, how we set up, it's just weird. I love Erik ten Hag, but that's my main issue with him, is that he's not a killer in those final minutes. Brentford, another one. Not in the fight. We're not set up well at all, and not telling them, yo, go finish that game off, get a goal, or at least play in their fucking defensive third. So that way, it's going to take them a minute to get down there, and we could set back up down there and try again. We're not doing that.
Hold on, Jerm. I see you. Mikey, you had a hot point. Jump in there, Bandito. No. Hold on, Jerm.
Hold on. Okay.
Go ahead, Bandito.
Yeah, I think Mikey's bang on. I was like, why are we – we're taking away our threat. We're not stretching them. We're just – what you do is you just invite the pressure. So you can't do that against good teams. Yeah, I thought that – I didn't mind the Mason Mount sub after the goal, but to take off Garnacho, and he was, you could tell he was not happy about it. He thought he had a winner in him, and to bring on Amrabat, put Ahmad in, put Fortson in,
I think that's one thing Erik ten Hag's not getting right. Attack. Substitutions. He's still not getting that part right. I'm sorry to cut you off, Mike. I want to get Jeremy in here. Go ahead, Jerm.
Yeah. Both of these games just kind of exemplify where we're at, right? We're an inconsistent team, chaotic, a team that can't really keep the ball in possession, control a game. It seems like in that Chelsea game, when we have the ball, we just can't sometimes just recycle back passes, have control of that game. It's just like we have an onslaught of shots on us. And then when we go on in the attack, we can't stay really consistent with that. We start off well, but then we fall off. And then in the Liverpool game, it's just we were supposed to lose that game, but credit to Bruno for hustling. A lot of the things that we fault him for, we also praise him, right? That he's all over the pitch. Sometimes there was times where he was trying to do that Hollywood pass and he was giving it to the opposition. But then he's out there hustling on the left side, helping out on defense. So once again, a lot of the reasons why we like him, but then we also fault him. And that's the biggest thing that I would say would go against Erik ten Hag in my book, when he took off Garnacho. That's one of the things that Mikey was spot on. And when I saw him come off, I was like, really? This is your biggest offensive threat? This is the guy that actually runs for you on offense and tracks back on defense. If anything, I would have put in like Ahmad or Mount and left Garnacho up in there. But that kind of had me also just like, wait a minute. What's going on? Like, we should be going for this. But he's putting Amrabat to try to secure or control the lead. you can't do that against a top club like Liverpool. So that's my biggest takeaway from this club so far.
Yeah, his substitutions, I said it was the people he's not taking out is the problem. Casemiro should have been pulled out of that match 100%. He had a horrible performance. I know Bruno got a lot of praise. He was having a horrible performance too. But he, you know, Bruno was kind of wasteful early with the ball, but that's what Bruno is. He's supposed to be creative. But the Casemiro situation, gentlemen, is he's a liability. I watched that game, and my whole thought process was, we got to get Casemiro out, bring in Mount, change it up a little bit, maybe drop Kobe, let Mount play in the 10 and have Bruno drop between Kobe. Just Casemiro is such a problem. And you look at it, our team, it's going to segment what I'm going to talk about is this youth movement that we have. We don't have leaders.
Nope.
And I know Bruno's a leader, but we don't have any mentorship for these young kids, and they're shining when they shouldn't be. And what's going on is it seems like our academy's been bailing us out for the last, what, 3 years, 4 years?
As they should. That's what Manchester United is, right?
Youth. But Mikey, youth, Big Mikey, growth. This is the people that Erik ten Hag wants to lean on. He's the people he gives extra playing time, leaves them in 90 minutes, and they're failing. The Brunos are failing. I don't think Bruno should be playing 90 minutes anymore. Casemiro needs to get subbed out. Salute to Willie playing the center back. I'm telling you, I know I kind of jumped over something there, but Willie showed us a lot. He showed us a lot of discipline. He showed us some fight, and he was trying to get into the tackles. It's our youth movement. How you feel about that, Big Mike?
Yeah, I feel like I disagree that they shouldn't be shining. They should definitely be shining. We brought them in, and we have them in the academy to shine. This is Man United. This is a team that's consistently had a youth player play for a grand number of years now, at least showcase. Matt Rashford was one of them. You know what I'm saying? Jesse Lingard was one of them. You know, we cultivate the youth here, right? And that's what Sir Alex is. I'm 33 years old. So for everybody else that's in 85, and I was only old enough to see Sir Alex era and on, right? So that's what we do. We bring on class of 92, all that kids. You know what I'm saying? Let the kids play with the older. So I'm not mad that they're shining. I'm just upset that we're not being clinical at the end of games. We're not killing off games. We're not seeing them out. We're playing scared. It looks like we're scared to give it up. And I feel like a lot of that is pressure for Ten Hag, because the job thing is always a constant. It's like, oh, let me go and just try to get a result here. Let me just try. And I didn't expect us to win the game. Let me come in and start saying that. I didn't come in thinking we were going to beat the Scousers again. I thought they'd come in and be angry about losing that last game and want to pay us back, right? That's what I thought. You know, I thought they would play well, and they did, you know, for good spells of the game. But once again, that team right there is unfinished as well. They're actually kind of overperforming. The injuries that they have too. They don't have Trent. They don't have Thiago. They don't have a lot of guys that they need, except for McAllister, who's been crushing it. Right. That's probably the player of the season for them. But once again, this Man United team is not good enough, and we have to make major changes. And we can't always depend on these 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds to come in.
But at this point, that's all we can depend on, because the veterans are not. They're the ones that are. When you said panic and pressure situation, it's our veterans, Big Mike. It's our veterans. Our international.
It's the entire team. The entire team is watching a man walk to the penalty spot to put a goal in. And nobody's saying, yo, mark a man. You're all ball watching. Ball watching. Big grown men ball watching for the ball to go in. Or just throwing the ball in. And losing the ball on a throw-in. That's criminal. Dallo, he could be really good sometimes. You remember Corey Webster played for the Giants? I called him Feast or Famine Corey Webster. Dallo could be Feast or Famine sometimes. He could be great, and then sometimes he could just do something so crazy. And also, that Wan-Bissaka goal. I mean, that Wan-Bissaka penalty. I watched that back, and I thought it was a penalty at the time. People are saying that it wasn't. I watched it back. He hits his knee. He clips his knee with his foot. So that's a penalty. So he gave away a stupid penalty in a time when we didn't need.
I actually heard that was a crafty move by the Liverpool player to do what you do. He dragged the foot.
Sell a foul.
But he had already
sell a foul.
I don't know if you guys can explain the rule to me, but the Liverpool guy had already passed the ball before the contact. So
he hits him on his knee when the ball's in front of him.
That's what I'm saying.
The foot goes underneath the leg. You can't pause, scissor somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it not go. It just didn't look good from the ref's perspective. And I can see why he called it. But after watching, having the benefit of replay, that's a pen.
Jump in there, Bandito.
Among other things, I've got reffing badges. I can ref up to not semi-pro, but like high school, college. It's kind of both. It's a dive and a foul.
Precedence?
I always was taught that if you go down for a tackle in the box, you're on the hook for any contact. So yeah, he does pass it over. He dives on the left foot. But then he sticks his right foot into Wan-Bissaka's legs. The ref's got to make, you know, he's got to make a decision there, and he gives a penalty. I was sitting right next to Cheese. I was standing right next to Cheese. And as soon as he brings the ball in, what was I saying, Cheese?
It's like, I'm about to give away a penalty. Stay on your feet. Don't give away a penalty. Don't dive in.
That's what he does. That's what he's known for, and it works out for him most of the time.
Go in there, Jeremy.
Wouldn't you argue as a player, knowing the moment you're in, he's in your box, just don't dive.
If he passes you up, just
don't dive, especially at the moment that you're in the game. You are fortunate to be up in the game. Just do not dive. Dive as a defender.
I have a feeling a lot of our veterans are not leading in the awareness department when it comes to playing football. I don't want to be negative. This is not slagging them off, but when I see guys diving a lot in situations where Casemiro should have.
Willie Campbell he had a great game. I don't want to.
Oh no, we're going to talk about him. He was phenomenal.
But he made some slide tackles that you don't really want to see from your center back out there. Yeah, some of them he won. One was kind of he got a yellow for. So yeah, that was a little off from him. I thought because he's a big, strong player and he's got a lot of pace, he kind of paired well with Maguire. I think, you know, Maguire is a
salute Maguire, by the way,
defender. And, you know, they were asking him to get a little higher, and Big Willie was doing Big Willie things because he's a front foot defender. He's not like Van Dijk, who's just going to jockey back and give you the space and let you run onto him and not let you, you know, dribble past him. Willie's a front foot defender, and he was doing Big Willie style. So, you know, I thought he looked really good. And then I don't know if it's a really good thing or a really depressing thing where your 18-year-old Kobbie Mainoo is like the cool head on the pitch telling Casemiro, like, hey, just put your foot on the ball and calm down. Like,
I mean, that's what's going on.
I have a question for you guys. I mean, being that you guys have like this knowledge of football, like as a defender, a veteran defender, especially knowing that you don't have that pace that, you know, you used to have once, would you not tell your team to just kind of be more narrow, or just kind of as a team not expand yourself so much to, you know, put yourself in a vulnerable position or to expose yourself as a defense?
Go ahead. You got to go what the offense gives you, right? So if they're stretching you, if they're stretching you with width, right, and they're playing out wide, you're going to have to – you don't want crosses in, okay, because the original game is crosses. Everybody's crossing the ball. Now people want to snatch back the ball and whatever the case, or play on the wings and look for a goal in that. So you got to go what the offense gives you at times. So I felt like what Wan-Bissaka's issue was, he could have just shepherded him more wide. Just don't give him the space. But once again, we've seen Wan-Bissaka in that position, Pauls, 1,000 times. 1,000 times we've seen him do that, and it's come out that he's gotten the ball. He's taken the ball off him. It didn't go for him this time. It was a bad time to do that. But when the heat of the moment, man, you're thinking, yo, I need to get this ball, especially as a top quality defender, at least a top quality 1v1 defender, because he is pretty bad off the ball.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Bandito.
The last thing your center back wants to do is have to defend in space out on the wing. Right. So if Wan-Bissaka is getting up or Dalot is in the half space, then that leaves their space behind them. And that's where a lot of the balls were coming in the second half. You can say Darwin Núñez is a terrible finisher. He's got a great work rate, works off the ball. He's a big, strong, fast player. So you saw Kambala out there have to deal with him in his pace. And, he made a mistake, gave the ball away, and another one let it go over his head, bounce on the ground. A defender, that's a big no-no. But he took a good angle and affected the shot and got back. And then he bigged up the Stretford in after he did it. So I've got all the time for that.
Let me get some comments right here.
To him, yeah.
Wilder Maverick says, heart, heart, heart. That's for Ronaldo says AWB tackle itself was impediment and the scouts fuck sold it. Yeah, true. And Ronaldo said Saka did not get in today versus Burn.
Did y'all watch those games? Those games were electric. Yeah. That's football.
I didn't watch them, but I had people giving me updates. Because there's supporters from every other group around me, so I got updates. So they were all draws, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk about how United went 16-4?
Just about to get into that, my brother. I was going to lead off with the Kambala question. Willie, was everybody comfortable with him playing more now?
Yeah. After that,
I mean, I don't think we have a choice still.
Exactly.
I don't think we have a choice still. But let's talk about it. U18s, U23s, and someone else.
So the U18s, the U18s who are flying in the league right now. It's a really shame that they bounced out to a small club in the FA Youth Cup. Put it on the Vermin and 9-1,
which is beautiful.
So if you remember the previous game. One of the Scousers elbowed Ethan Wheatley in the face and then punched another player. So from what I understand, I was talking to, you guys know Alex Neal, the famous Alex. Anyway, I was talking to his dad, John.
Yeah, the kid in, like, oh, no, you don't, go ahead.
Yeah, the kid in the chair, the wheelchair.
Yeah.
He was saying they were pissed about that and that they came out. Not only is this the Dippers, but this is revenge for those those Dulos, those sucker punch. So Ethan Wheatley had a hat trick. I think Biancheri scored as well. So they are flying. I think they've got two games to win, and they win the under 18 Premier League title. I want to talk about a highlight. One player, his name is Bendito Mantato. And he's been playing with United since he's like 7 years old. He's a left footer. He started as a left back with the U16s. So he was moved to right wing. At 14, he was playing with the U16s. He just turned 16. And he's playing with the 18s. And with his new position switch, he's able to use this cutting in on the left foot. He's got a really nice dribble. He gets a lot of comparison to Saka. Now, he's a big, tall, thin player.
Kind of fair skin?
No, he's tall, thin. He's got braids or cornrows at times.
I must be thinking about Ethan Wheatley.
Ethan Wheatley is kind of a more fair skin. You know, the big, all the kids have the big bushy hair. Right?
Yeah.
So Mantato, He's one to watch. He's really good with both feet. Got a wicked left shot. He scored 4 goals against Blackburn in their game. Like I said, he hasn't signed a professional contract. A lot of clubs want his services, want them in their academy. I guess the club is working on his scholarship contract.
How's Shea Lacy? You know, is he healthy?
Shea Lacy is healthy. He gets compared a lot to Phil Foden.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of small, quick, mercurial. You look at him, you're like, oh, I'm going to push this guy off the ball, and I'm going to fucking take it from him. He's got really great footwork and moves, really gets players involved. Really silky player. So yeah, a lot of excitement going on in the U18s. Now the U21s are not doing so great. I think they're 12th on the table. But I like the direction from the 18s. They're normally what they would do, they would pluck some of these players who they think are physically ready and put them on the 21s, but they're not doing that. They're allowing them to gel and cook with players their age and stay on the 18s. So I think that's a real positive step.
And there's another player I keep hearing about is the kid with like Imbrimovic or something like that. His family's like MMA fighters, and he's got a brother that plays plays for like another club. He's supposed to be like a midfielder.
His younger brother is, I think, in the 15s. He had an injury. A little setback, but he's another, we say, like a low center of gravity compact player. And so someone made a a comment, like, anytime you see one of these Russian guys with like a an Arabic name, like, don't fuck with him. Like, this you think you're gonna push him around, you're not. Like, this guy grew up wrestling and boxing and playing football, so he's got that dog in him.
It just goes back to the academies just doing it, dominated Liverpool. Klopp lost his mind. Yeah. Kobe stands out. Willie played well. Anybody concerned about Rasmus right now? He's kind of fallen off a little bit.
No.
I think his work rate is exceptional, though.
I'm not worried about Rasmus.
We
have to do a better job getting him service.
I heard a lot of that this weekend.
But I love his work rate. And I thought he should have been the first sub, like, and especially in the Liverpool game when you took off Garnacho first, and it looks like you were trying to go defensive to like hold the lead and see the game out. It's like, how come you didn't take Rasmus off?
But Ten Hag's substitutions have been
questionable,
very questionable.
Questionable, man.
But I think something he has going for him, the guys seem to like about him, he's loyal by a fault to me. His loyalty is very. He extends it out. I don't know what that means, but he's very loyal, and I think that could be a negative towards him. But Ten Hag's behaving like a coach that has a lot of reassurances. He's going to be around. They still got the coaching things going out. A lot of changes in the back room. Murtaugh's out. Go ahead.
We're still going after Ashcroft. Is that his name? Dan?
Oh, no,
Astro?
He's going to be with us. We just got to he's going to be probably the last one signed because they want $20 million for him.
Right, because I just saw, I think Beto posted it today, that because we have the Southampton cast, but I thought that we got him instead of Ashcroft because Newcastle was playing around.
Oh, no. We're
still
gonna have,
going for him.
Go ahead.
It's Wilcox, and yeah, he's...
The technical.
He's going to be... I think he's going to take what... Darren Fletcher's role originally was, which he's not doing.
Yeah.
Which is the link between academy to first team. That's something that Fletcher was originally his role. But I want to give Fletcher his props because his role is tracksuit coach with the academy players when they're in the first team training. So he's... he's responsible for...
He keeps the trackie on, too, though. It's fresh.
Yeah. The suit, nah. Fam, get the boots on and get out there with Garnacho and Manu, Fortson and those guys. That's your role. And Wilcox is going to take that role, being that link between first team and academy.
How you guys feeling about the Murtaugh thing? Germ, haven't heard your voice in a while.
I think it's a step in the right direction, you know, getting someone with a better resume, right? The guy from Bournemouth, getting John Wilcox. It's actually getting proper football people in place to make decisions. Bendito said, that link from the academy to the senior team, having him work with Dan Ashworth. I know I'm speaking soon on it because they're on gardening leave, but it looks like they're assembling proper football heads so they can run this club and have it be a first-team club as it should be, as we should.
Mikey, I think just the removal of Murtaugh makes us better in the with transactions now, because the article today, I'm just going to go through it briefly. It said that we went into deals blindly, meaning that when Beto did all his research on players, he did more work than John Murtaugh. John Murtaugh did the easy deals. Declan Rice wanted to, his people wanted to talk to us, but they did the Casemiro deal because it's easy. They strayed away from the tough deals. This is a guy that got haggled all summer, Mikey, by Barcelona for Frankie de Jong, and we did not get him. They said that he didn't have notes. He didn't have any, he didn't have a scouting report on other players. He went into deals blindly. And you see why when we said, why the hell did you would do that? This guy, great guy with the academy. I'm going to give him his flowers. Everybody loves him, but in the boardroom, he was in there. And Big Mike, I'm telling you, my personal thing, not having him just made us at least 10 times better.
I mean, we'll see. I don't like to speak. He's not a... The thing is with these guys up top, when it was just them and the Glazers, and a lot of them aren't like football minds, right? So they're not really thinking about... it comes across to me, rather. They're not really thinking about, you know, fortifying the team. What I get from them a lot of time is like quick fix solutions, profits. Quick patch solutions with players that have done it on a higher level. So like with, for example, when you brought up Casemiro and Basmati Rice,
excuse me,
Cook Rice.
Okay, sorry.
When you brought it up, it's like that money wasn't there for him. Right, that we weren't going to pay what Arsenal was willing to pay, and Arsenal was already going to do that. So I get why he strayed away from that deal. But, you know, the other things we've done with the signings, we're signing a player that left and came back, and Pogba for $100 million, that's a lot of money. We're signing an Antony when we could have got him for $45. We let him storm out from Ajax and then raise the price on us.
He probably didn't even know who Kudus was.
What's that?
He probably didn't know who Kudus was at Ajax instead of getting Antony. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I don't know. I'm not going to talk to what he knows and doesn't know because I'm not there with him, right? I would like to think that he has an idea of certain players, right? It's your job. So I got to give him something for that, but I just don't feel like he chose right enough to keep his job. And him leaving just marks the end of 10 years of really not having a real football mind in the job. You know, people were excited for him when he came in, but it's a structural thing. The Glazers, all of this has to end with the Glazers giving up control of the club, right? As long as they're around and they got their nose around, it's never going to be what it can be, right? Until we get the real football minds in there. So I have hope for Ineos. I'm loving what they're doing, but I got to see it in its entirety working on the pitch. See that
final product.
I mean, yeah, Jeremy,
good point, Mike. We haven't seen him do anything yet. So I think that what Casey's alluding to is, and you touched on it as well, the cronyism that was going on with the Glazers. They're
easy hires.
They're putting people in positions who are loyal to them instead of based on their qualifications. And that's Murtaugh did it. To be fair,
he was better than Woodward
at the academy, but he was out of his depth in that transfer director role. And look, United is not a job for rookies.
No, it's not.
It's a job. It's not a job for rookies. It's for people who know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jerm, how did you feel about when you heard about Murta? I think you said it, spoke on it a little bit.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing as everyone's saying. I'm just echoing the same thoughts everyone's saying. When we're getting proper football people to run a proper football club, and we're just looking forward to making sure they make the correct decisions. And like we said, end of an era. Let's start new. Let's just, you know, go on up from here.
All right. I think, you know, to touch on something Mikey said, we were a little excited when Murtaugh became the title director of football because it wasn't Woodward anymore. I think that's what's right. the one thing that we were all like, oh, well, at least it ain't Woodward. Because we know Woodward was on some crazy shit. And you come out with quotes that you don't need to have success on the field to be successful as a club. We all knew that he wasn't. He didn't have the right thought processes we did.
At the time, we had no director of football.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
We just had a CEO. And they're like, oh, shit. People are having directors of football? You, get in there. Like, and that's kind of how it operates, which is, you know, that's – you see the end product.
Beto's dropped like 3 messages that said, God damn it, I've been posted on the wrong live. Mikey Douglas, check your live, LOL. He said, I wrote a lot. Mikey, you got a lot to read later. Beto said he dropped a lot of shit. Well, in sync with today's intro that Mikey made, we want to just touch on fan culture in the States. I know one thing. This is the top Manchester United podcast on the stateside. I'm just going to go ahead and claim that title right now. Anybody wants to debate us, come get that smoke.
Based on what, though?
Just based on me.
We have 10,000 people in our group.
Oh, do you?
So, yeah, so what is it based on? We could easily have 1,000 people in our pub.
Nice segue, because we want.
I was talking about our podcast, but you're going that you have the best. I was saying we have the best podcast, stateside podcast, but you're saying you guys have the best support. I love this. Now it's beef.
Okay. Okay.
So you guys have 10,000. I don't know. LA people are not going to sign up and say how many people are in the group. That's one thing. We are very.
Oh, so you're not organized. Okay.
Oh, no, we're organized. No.
You make it Presley look bad.
No.
You're not going to sign up. You're not going to do the bare minimum of signing up. So, like, you're not organized.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
This is not the direction it was supposed to go in.
The topic was the fan culture across the state, sir.
What we originally wanted is to hear from Mikey about how he would describe the fan culture in Atlanta. And
is that
similar, or what are the dissimilarities between, you know, other sort of supporters groups in the South and the Southern United States? And what would you say about fan culture in Atlanta?
So I think it all starts with Atlanta United here, right? So Atlanta United's a new team. You know who Atlanta United is. I think they won it in 2017. Day one in 2017, that was the first major title to come to the city out in the, you know, like, we don't win here. You know, there's no 28-3. Outside of the Braves, it's not really a thing of winning here. But Atlanta United did it with just coming out of nowhere. So you get a lot of that first, right? You get a lot of that, like, footy mob. And all those guys at the bins, they are rocking at the bins. I'm not a fan, but they are in there packed out. And it's, I think they hold like 80 or 90,000 or something like that. And that place is packed out. When it was at Georgia Tech, Bobby Dodd Stadium, it was packed out. The fandom here for football is insane. So the other groups in the South, I'm not too – a lot of them are little smaller groups compared to us. We're a major city right now. I can say we're a major city. So it's a little smaller groups you'll run into. I connect with a lot of groups, the Knoxville guys, Nashville, Tampa, you know, places like that. There's places like New Orleans where they don't have one. They have a city group but not a United group. There's places like that. So it's sparing. But in Atlanta, for sure, football is a big thing. we have our own pubs and stuff we go to that just like every other place else, but our group in particular has been around a long time, and we can easily have 1,000 people in that place with having people sitting outside and all that other stuff. So it's definitely grown. I've been watching United since 9, and I remember when I had to have the black box on top of the TV to watch it. I remember having to watch it on Dish. You had to have Dish to watch that shit. And it wasn't, there wasn't no supporters group to go to, or it was 7 people in a pub. You might could watch it until it, you know, SEC comes on, you know, but it's growing here immensely. And I'm happy for it. And
it sounds good.
I always bring people in. I'm always like, yo, you, I'm at work. People see me wear my United shirt. They want to talk. I'm like, yo, come to Fido's. Come to Fido's. We would love to have you. We'd love to have you. And it just grows like that.
Is it, would you say, like you say, you mentioned like you rock your shirt. Is it that kind of thing with the shirt and the scarves and that kind of vibe? Or
so like our pub is like that, right? But yeah. Then you have, this is America. So like I've been to Manchester a few times, watch games. I know what it's like. My family's not from this country. I know what it's like to the fandom, what it really looks like, and it's about the turf, right? Here, it's like that. We have scars, we have that kind of thing, but like mostly it's like a younger crowd coming in wearing the shirt. It's a Saturday, it's cool, you know, it's intense. We had people arguing. It was going up when Liverpool scored that penalty, because we had a couple Liverpool people in there. That's another thing. They like to come to our pub, which is
so weird. Do you guys get on with other supporters?
Or so we don't
really think
that's a great
so
question.
There's two supporters groups here, right? There's the official one, which is ours, and then there's another one which they started their own thing. They have everybody in theirs, like it don't matter who, and they have all the scarves hanging up for every fucking team in the world. We don't do that. You can't hang scarves, you can't do none of that here. We don't make up chants. There's no making up American chants. We're not doing that. You know, we're strict to the book with chants and songs. And the way I got to Munich is because people brought me to Munich that were a part of, like, Stratford Enders and things like that. You know, we're more enriched in the culture and the history of the club, as opposed to, you know, the fans that are like more of it's a Saturday and football's on. So I can speak to that, especially for us. It's more of a history thing for us,
yeah,
especially the core members of the group.
I would say the LA group is
cool.
Like that.
That's really cool.
That sounds good. Wow, we're running out of time.
We've been talking about getting out there and seeing some other supporters groups. I know Casey had been in contact with some other supporters groups, and they were talking about, you know, come out and stuff like that. And I think that would be a really, really cool thing.
Nice road trip.
I talked to a lot of them. We're doing the game. They're doing the game in South Carolina. They're chartering a bus for us to go.
That's nice.
I'm going to drive because I'm going to be drunk, so I'm going to stay there, and I probably won't. I'm going to come back Sunday morning, so I'm going to get up there Friday. But, like, I'm talking to all the groups that's going. I'm like, yo, we're going to have an event. We're going to do stuff, you know, kind of like what D.C. did in New York, because D.C. is another major one on the East Coast that do things. So,
okay. And Houston as well, right? They got a really big supporters group.
So, like, I'm not too sure about Houston. That's a little bit more west for me than, okay. You know, I'm more southeastern. I know more about that.
All right. Well, the time has jumped up on us. Let's get some closing thoughts. Cheese, go ahead, lead it.
Everybody stay positive.
Bournemouth. We've got Bournemouth.
Eric Ten Hag, step your coaching game up. These professional players that play for you, step your game up. Everybody,
you got a good radio voice.
Everybody get on the same page. Finish the season strong. I don't expect nothing else from y'all. I'm not getting stressed out with them.
Germ.
Shout out to the youth, Kavi, Kamwala, Garnacho. Let's take it on to the next
Rasmus.
Game. Rasmus, yep.
We're great, Rasmus.
Bandito.
So Klopp has come to town 3 times.
Yes.
2 draws.
Yes.
And he got knocked the fuck out of the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's
he's
the best part.
Up. If those 2 results in the league stop him from winning the league, then fucking job done.
Ooh. Nice, nice. Ooh. Shots fired. Big Mike.
All right. So currently the Lakers are losing to the Warriors right now, and they're in ninth place. So, you know, that's always a good thing. And, yeah, man, shout out to all y'all for the show. I just want to say everybody's doing a great job being here, being on time. And thank you for all the good stuff with the intro and stuff. I got more stuff coming. And Sam, we need to get that intro into 4K. I don't know what that was, but. Make it 4K, brother.
Show ready.
Beto, I see all your comments. Shout out to Beto, another part of the show. Everybody, this has been Those Casual Reds. I'm going to go with a 2-0 over Bournemouth. Up the fucking Reds. Everybody be safe. Tell the truth to each other once we're out.
One love.
One love. One love.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas. Only on LA Talk Radio.